We are learning the Simon of Simon Tov Kuf Pei Gimel, the Simonim. We started a little bit touching about this. Before starting, though, I just want to share with you an interesting story I saw in Ayadunna's weekly. It was a very nice story, just a short, very nice. I think it's very, very nice. He writes that Rav Shach, we'll remember Rav Shach, the Shiva Ponevish, he was on the Niftah not such a long time ago, but he outlived his wife. He outlived his wife by quite a number of years. The Ebbets know Rav Shach. I know fairly little about her, but she was hospitalized when she was, this must be in the 1970s, perhaps early 1980s, perhaps. She was hospitalized when she was about to be Nifta. Interesting, what a beautiful story. She then said, she related that when she got married to a husband who was to become the Ponvos Shiva, Ablazer Shach, Sechet Tzadik Livroche. So when she was a Kala and they discussed a bit how they are going to set up and establish their house. So, and this is the Rebbetzin talking in hospital just before she was to pass away. Said, we were discussing, the Kala, the Chosn, we're discussing how the house is going to look like. And then my husband, my future husband, the Chosn, he then said, listen, the way I picture that, it's going to be some disagreements it's going to be some disagreements, two different people living in the same house. There's going to be some disagreements. So I'd like to set up now, the rule is going to be like this. We're going to make, who is somebody, it's not fair that who is the same. You are Mevata, and then afterwards I'm Mevata. Then it's again your turn to Mevata, and then I'm going to Mevata, and so on and so on. And like this, we take turns who's going to Mevata. And we've set it up in advance, we decide who's going to Mevata, what. Like these things are going to go much smoother, Beis Hashem. She said, it's a really good idea. Really good idea. And that's how they decided they're going to set up the house, that they're going to have to take turns who's going to Mevata without always like trying to be always in the right and trying to disprove. Yeah, we're going to take turns. It's a good idea. It's a good idea. Okay, that's going to be the first disagreement. That's good. So the Everton of Rav Shach says, we agree to that. We agree to that, and it's now we've been married now for some I don't know, maybe cheshbon, perhaps 50, perhaps 60 years. She says, I'm still waiting for my turn to move out. It's such a nice story. Now I don't know if pshat is. I was trying to interpret it. Is pshat in the story that he really was constantly mevata, or could be that's pshat, or perhaps that she never felt she was mevata. Could also be she never felt she was mevata because she's entitled to, everybody's entitled to her own opinion. So sometimes you don't feel it's a veto when you are, when you're giving it to the other side. It's not even a veto. So that, or perhaps they never had any disagreement. That could be as well. But I know that, I thought that was a very nice, very nice story. It reminded me of another story, which is very, very similar to the Maril Diskin. They say the Maril Diskin when he's in the Cheder Yichud with his color. He said, listen, the minute in the Cheder Yichud, you give something, you give a piece of jewelry. And he said, I can't give you a piece of jewelry. Because I haven't got anything, I just really, really can't afford anything. I can't give you anything. But instead of that, giving you a piece of jewelry, I'm going to give you that whenever disagreement, I'm going to give you now onwards. I'm telling you, you're going to be in the right. That's what I can give you. I can't give you any jewelry, but I can give you the right of being of remaining in the right. Yeah. Okay. Fine. I suppose it's something to think about in the 9 days. Okay, Rabbi says, yeah, this is very interesting. I was thinking of Simonim. It's a very complex. Yeah. The more I think about the idea of the Simonim, it is really something which is hard to understand because we're not used to having we said that the Mishnah Berurah learns how does Simonim work? How does Simonim work when you have to puach bidvash? Why do you have a sweet year? How does it work? How does it work? What's the mechanics of that? Yotz and the tefillah, right? So we learned, and it sounds really, it really does sound, Mishnah Berurah learns like that. Unless I'm reading it wrong. Mishnah Berurah Sifkot Gimel, Sifkot Beis seems to be saying that it works tefillah. The way you do a tefillah in the best way is by having something visual. However, I think it's true still, but we have to remember the background of this. And it's really important to remember that what's the starting point? Where does it come from, the idea of having Simonim? Where does it come from? So it's not like a recent minig, but it is. It's Medina de Gemara. It's Gemara in two places. Speak about Simona Milza. Simona Milza, it's the Gemara. So it's not just a recent minig, you know. So what do people have for Minhagim? You know, Shavuos we have. On Pesach we have. I don't know, what do you have on Pesach? Yeah, your grandmother's Knedelich. Which mouth? Yeah, I don't know. Now we're going to have to fight whose grandmother's Knedelich is better. But that's, you know. But what do we have on Sukkot? We have, I don't know, underneath of Holopshis, I don't know. Whatever your minig is. Lemaisa, it's this old recent Minhagim, which is just about 50, 100, perhaps 200 years old. This over here, what we're talking about, Simona Milza, doesn't go in that category at all. This is the Gemara talking about it. The Gemara says, these are words of the Gemara. And therefore, it cannot be underestimated. Still, it needs to be understood, how does it work? It doesn't sound like it's mamash, just the tefillah, because the Hasurab Shlomo Kluge says that by eating it, it's a kind of, you're making it real that this actually is going to happen. It's a certain kind of mechanics that if you're eating something befoil, it's as if there's a, it does something, but I don't exactly understand how it works. But the man says, that's so the Shulchan Aruch. You have to actually eat it. Yeah. Sounds like according to Shlomo Kluge, you have to eat it, yeah. Sounds like you have to have a bit of it. Yeah, sounds like it. You're looking at Lashon of Shlomo Kluge. It says that if you eat it, he said that if you, it's he said like this: if a person has got chas v'shalom, he has got a, he's meant to have not a good year chas v'shalom, and then by eating it, as if the bracha is going to be mekuyim by the eating of that actually you're going to have a sweet year or a good year. It somehow kind of turns the klal into a bracha. The fact you're eating it. What are we actually eating? What are we actually eating? Says Shulchan Aruch, Yehodom rogel lechol b'Rosh Hashanah rubia. You should have on Rosh Hashanah rubia. What's rubia? Pardon what? Yeah, it's a kind of seeds, little seeds. Yeah, dehainu tilson. Yeah, it's a kind of yeah. Karsi, what's karsi? Leek. And you should also have silka. What's silka? Yeah, beets, beetroot, yeah. Tamra? Dates. Kora? Gourds, that's right. That's pump, yeah, that's right. That's zucchini, I think some people say. Yeah, so something on those lines. When you eat the rubia, mark the word, note the word. So that's where it comes from. It's like Xer Shava. Rubia and yirbu. Yeah, the word sounds the same. That's what it is. It sounds the same. We're going to get that in a minute. It sounds the same. It's a phonological thing. Rubia yirbus reseinu. Karsi, which is the leak. Why do we have leak? Because karsi, Loshna Kodesh, is phonologically sounds similar to yikorsu soneinu, how our enemy should be cut off. Karsi yikorsu. Silka, why do we have the silka? That's right. Yistal koyveinu, how enemies should be removed. Tamri, the date. Yitamu seinenu, our enemies should be ended, should be seized. Kora, that's a double one. Again, it's all phonologically. Yikora, gzardinenu, kora, kora. So the ayin and the aleph, I suppose, sounds the same. I always thought that the Sfadi way of pronouncing is more accurate. Because the Sfadim, they've got this guttural ayin, which is definitely more. Definitely more accurate than ours. But it sounds like there's no distinction. Koro, yikora senenu. Yeah, veikoro lefonechos yosenu adishle usu veikoro, our schusim should be read before you. Now here is the thing that the Mishnah Berurah says. In Sifkotan Aleph, sheyochel rubia, hu adin ma shenika b'lashonis acherim loshen rivyo yoichal, whatever in your own language, wherever you may be living, in England, in France, in whatever your language may be, you should eat kol medino medino k'lashoino, says the Mishnah Berurah. Every language should have its own, there must be a word for that. What's the word for something which sounds phonologically similar? It's not a synonym. Synonym is the meaning, so. What is it?
This word sounds like the.
What is that? What is the word?
Onomatopoeia.
Yeah. 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 So that's it. So that's why the Yekish minig was, and I don't know if Chassidim Stam also. They have carrots. Carrots. Any of you have carrots? Yeah. Why carrots? Ah, so no, so Yiddish, yeah, because in Yiddish and in German, all German, Meren. Meren, it's called Meren or Meren. So Meren is the German word, or the Yiddish word for carrots. And so we want to, in French, there's a lot of those. I once, I have a cousin who married from a very French family, generations who were in the Alsace, in the French part of and they had a lot of those French speaking, what is it called? Yeah, I'm not going to say that now, but yeah. So they have a lot. They have a lot of that. So it is about any others. Do you have any other?
Banana.
What's that? How does the banana work?
Banane.
Ah, yeah.
Oh,
very nice. You're very rich. Yeah. Okay, but it's not a joke. This is really how. That's how it works. Schnitzel, very nice. This is that's what Mishnah says. So the Mashaniko, but the Shoyin is a Chayim, Loshen Rivio Yoichal. So that's really works. And now comes the Mishnah Berurah. We've gotten Gimel, but I know because there's more. V'yesh noya gilechol tapuach mosoik. People have an apple, which is sweet apple as well. Bidvash ve'oymrim tischadish aleinu shana mesuka. You should top of page 110. You should have tischadish aleinu shana mesuka. Not like we say. I was Aunosach. It doesn't say that. Not Shana Tova Mesuka. Interesting. Genoya gave me that to Minig as well. Why? Yeah, it's just the sweetness of the fruit. Very good. Very, very good. Very, very good. You're right. It's very interesting. You're 100% right. It's a very good point. Yeah, and the Rimon Lemais, it goes in line with the Rimon finishes off. Many people have a minig of eating pomegranates. Like the seeds of the Rimon internally. People also have a lot of fatty meat. And also many sweet foods. See what the Mishnah Berurah says on that. Now, the Mishnah Berurah goes about the apple, and that is really I was pleased to see that Shemazam was also very amazed about this. It's very, very strange. So, in terms of the bracha of the apple, so how does that work? How do you do it with the bracha of the apple? How does it work? You make a bracha on the apple. Yeah, very good. So you make a bracha on the apple, right? You don't make a bracha on the apple. There is some who don't, but very good. That's also a question. So let's get to that. So firstly, we've got to make sure that pashtus, you make a bracha on the. Oh, you've got to make a bracha, although it's after washing. You've got to make a bracha on the. You've got to make a bracha on the fruit. It's not part of the meal. Mishnah Berurah says to it, you have to puach ikka, mevorech olav, poitrat vash. Make a bracha on the apple, and thereby you're including the honey, which doesn't warrant its own bracha. And although you're having the apple after amoitzi, you must make a bracha on it. I know there are some people who have a minig not to make a bracha on the apple. Anybody not to make a bracha on the apple? There may be a bit of an explanation for it. If one does make a bracha, it's against the Mishnah Berurah. But I think that those who don't, they may say that this is part of the meal. On Rosh Hashanah, this is very much part of the meal. It's not what the Mishnah Berurah holds, and it's probably not the pashtus, but it might warrant a.
Generally, if someone's going to have a fruit at the beginning of the meal, it's a starter that have bread with it.
If you have bread with it, you don't make a bracha, correct? You don't have bread with it, you don't have the challah with it, you have the fruit on its own. Yeah, you make a mozi and then you have the apple standing on its own. In fact, you're not only going to have that fruit, you're going to have other fruit as well. Generally speaking, you don't have it with the challah, you have it. But you are right, if a person consumes it together with them, with the bread, that's actually a very good eitzah. If a person doesn't want to make a bracha for some reason or another, then I suppose that's a way of getting out of the bracha. Now, v'yeshnoigim letabel amozi bitvash. And now Boisai, and here's a question. It's the Mishnah Berurah seems to be implying, and certainly the Ramah seems to be implying, that when you, what's the order? You make the bracha on the
apple.
You make the bracha on the apple. And that sounds very, very strange. Because we know that what? That in the terms of order of brachas, If you, that's right. If you're going to have some pomegranates, then what? You're going to have pomegranate in a half a minute. You're going to have some pomegranate. So surely you should make the bracha on the rimoin because it's shivas aminim and not the apple. Petzorichin. It is, to me, it sounds like a mystery. And I'll tell you why it's a mystery to me. Because it is something which is so, it's so deeply embedded in our Rosh Hashanahs, not just in our Rosh Hashanahs, but it's going back generations. And it sounds like the Mashmos from the Mishnah Berurah and the Rimoin. That's the way they did it. They had the apple before the Rimoin. It's hard to say that there was a mistake there.
Last time we had this.
And what was the answer then?
We said this is the exception to the rule because I think it's the pass that it brings when with all fruit trees, usually what happens is the leaf comes and then the fruit comes. So the leaf is a protection to the fruit. But
and
the apple is different. Why? Because the fruit comes and then the
and
leaf
therefore,
comes. And therefore, Tyler shows compared to the apple has a muna to go before.
See, it's interesting. I don't remember hearing this, but it sounds like a very big chiddush. It sounds like a very big chiddush. Yeah, I have one other suggestion. I hear it's and a very nice thought.
We're coming before Hashem. We want protection for the year, so we say we come to you, Hashem, for the protection.
So he's saying what Mr. Bellini is suggesting is as follows. He says that is true. Generally speaking, we're going to have Shiva Samini before an apple. True. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says elsewhere. It says Medina the Gemara, you're going to have to Shiva Samini before the apple. However, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, we will not go according to Shiva Samini. It's true. Generally, why do you have Shiva Samini first? The order of the pasuk. You have Shiva Samini first, it's more Choshuv, it's Choviv. However, over here, it's an exception. We're going to have the apple first because of its symbolic meaning. So it overrides the general rule of having Shiva Samini first. Very nice thought. I don't remember it. I had another suggestion to be done in the Kapschus. Why? I know there's some people who are going to have Rimonim first. How about you say there are people who are very halacha-minded and very conscious of the Shulchan Aruch's opinion of order. They are going to have it. What do you have first? You have the apple first? And then you make the like most Yidden in Klal Yisrael, you make your eitz on the apple. And so the question is, how you can have the rimon afterwards? So I want to suggest the following suggestion. He comes with a bit of a chiddush halacha. He comes with a bit of a chiddush halacha. But I think that's really posh pshat.
I'll hear you.
Oh, why not? Why not?
Okay.
Oh, good. I would like to suggest a practical thing, and I think that the reason why it's embedded in the system for so many, you know, also you chiddush, Mr. Berlin, I have a bit of a cash on you. That's something which should have been written in Mishnah Berurah. That if it's true that, yeah, generally we have Rimonim first, but I, Rosh Hashanah is different, I need the Ramah to tell me that. I need the Mishnah Berurah to tell me that. That over here it doesn't go with a regular order. It's the kind of thing that needs to be spelled out. I would like to suggest as follows. I think the way it worked was that the Shiva Saminim was brought later to the table. It was always like that. On the table you had the challah, and you had the apple. And therefore, when you made hamotzi, and the apple, eventually, you bring one fruit, the tables weren't as big and comfortable as that. They were shaky. They were small. There wasn't, you know, mevi'in lefonov, you see, dina de gemara later on as well. It wasn't like the tables we've got nowadays. Therefore, you'd bring one dish at a time, one food item at a time. Therefore, there would be the apple at the beginning, and it would be taken away from the table. Then there would be one food item at a time. The rimonim would be brought later, and therefore, you haven't got an obligation to look after the rimon, which is not the table yet. Nice idea? If that's true, and I think it is, I firmly believe it is, I haven't seen it in the postgame. If it's true, what does that mean, Aloch Lamaisa? You've got to make sure that the apple is there, and even more, and the money is not there.
Or covered.
Yeah, it's covered, but the chatchim not even on the table. Yeah. So you've got to make sure it's out of sight, out of mind. Pardon? No, Toma. If you eat tomato, it was, and whatever you may be eating, what?
Don't you want to have in mind because you want to pass up the brocha, so you don't have to make
it. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, okay. So it's, you know, shine, okay. But no, as far as the brocha is concerned, it's not ma'akev. But as far as the brocha is concerned, you're part of it. But it's not, it doesn't mean that you have to eat it. That's the order. That's what I think. However, I want to just see one more thing over here in the Mishnah Berurah. Over here, it is Chadesh. For Yehima Vakosha, Sivkot and Dalet. Yehima Rabakosha, Hachas Cholas Achille. Also an important point. And this should also not have been brought to Achille. You've got to make a, so you made the hamotzi and you had your challah. And then you make pere priho eitz, and then you eat, and then you say the rotzen. Is that how you do it? Is that how you do it? Is that how you do it? That's how you've got to do it. So do not do as some people do, to make a bracha, and they say the rotzen, and then they eat. According to Mishnah Berurah, this is wrong. You've got to make the bracha, you eat, you take a bite, and you say the rotzen after that. Unlike the other ones, you can.
Can you not say here or some first
minute? No, not according to Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says explicitly you shouldn't.
I
know you could argue, I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. You mean that it's a Torah Chachila or something like that. Mishnah Berurah doesn't want to say that. No, Mishnah Berurah says you eat, you make a bracha. Are you the Yerotzen before the bracha? Yerotzen before the bracha. I see. You probably could do that as well. I suppose you could do that. Yeah, I suppose you could do that. It sounds like Mishnah Berurah, he comes explicitly to point out not that way around. He says you should eat and then say the... Yeah.
It's like you're saying the Ramah...
He asked over here. One second.
The first bracha, though. The first two brachas.
Pardon? How was that?
Well, it's only going to be the first bracha.
Only the first one, yeah. Yeah, Lemaisa, as mentioned, the Arab Shlomo Zalman did bring some who hold that it's not considered a hefsek, but it's not, and you could make the yotzen before eating, but that's not the not the way the Mishnah Berurah lands.
Is it apples out before, then the
Ramah
should say the
yesh
nagin lechol lifnei ze, because the Ramah, the Chochmah has given a whole din of what to do and what to eat.
Yes, yeah, so what you
maybe say. If Neizeh, you should do the tapuach. But he says, "V'yesh nagin lechol tapuach." It's like after all the other things.
So what do you think that? But I don't. The Mishnah Berurah didn't learn like that because he says you make the bracha on the apple. In Sefkot and Gimel, he says you mevoeh cholov. You make the bracha on it. So he seems to be learning the more that you make the bracha on the apple. That seems to be coming first. Yeah, now the Mishnah Berurah also points out so you should have a sweet apple. Why the sweet apple? Because it is sweet. Now, does that mean also you're not meant to have? Is there a problem with having something which is sour or bitter? In other words, I know you have to have a sweet apple. All right, okay. Does that also mean you should refrain from having sour fruit? But after that, you've had your apple. It was sweet. It was very sweet. It was probably oversweet. And now you want to know, as to, by the way, some honeys are not so sweet. Honey's not so sweet. Have you noticed? Some honeys, depends which honey you have, are not so sweet. Have you experienced that?
No.
How about Isai? Have you ever experienced that the honey not being so sweet? No? Some are not so sweet. Definitely. All right. Okay. So Rabbi Yisrael, is there any problem to having something which is, so you've had your sweet apple with a sweet honey. All right. Thank you very much. And now, can you have something which is sour or bitter?
Sure, no.
You shouldn't, right. So there's a separate issue as well, that besides having your sweet apple, you should also not have something which is sour or bitter. That's what the Mishnah Berurah said in Sifkot Nei. Shalom Mesuk, aval ken yesh nimnoim levash l'brosh shonim minei chomitz borsht. Borsht, Rabbi Yisrael, is pfeli... Borscht,
cabbage.
It's a bit bitter, a bit sour. For chedoyim, yeah. So don't have that. Aval ken oichin dogim letzimon eshifur vibuki dogim. Those who have a bit of fish, ein mevashlo bechoyim. So don't ein mevashlo bechoyim. It's not have it in vinegary. Do not have it. Don't have a vinegary. Yeah, that's right. Don't have that. It's not a good idea. Finally, the Mishnah Berurah finishes off with a musavot, and I'm going to read those words out. All these foods, these eatings, are good simon to eat. Therefore, pshita she'ezor me'oit. It is obvious. It comes without explanation. Shaloi lichois biyomim elu. Should not be angry in those days. Milvad goydelo isa, besides the fact that it's a very great isa to be angry, kedesh shele siman toiv, haki someach liboy batuach b'Hashem tshuva ma'asim toivim. The Mishnah Berurah seems to be holding that people get very tense on Rosh Hashanah. People get tense and nervous on Rosh Hashanah, perhaps for good reason, but it's wrong. And he says that people get anger, people get tensed, and people are short-tempered and short-fused. He said that people should be betochen, that everything will be alright. He said that it's ironic to have the simon name, and that, where's the Rimon? Why is it on the table? I said we shouldn't have it on the table. So that's against that. If you get all short fused about something which is on the road of Rosh Hashanah, you know, why we have to wait some ages for Kiddush? You know, why is it not ready yet? So that defeats all purpose. Is it the greatest bracha on those days? One should be at ease, one should be comfortable, one should have bitachon, one should be comfortable. And he said that's just as important as the simonim according to the Heilige Chofetz Chaim. Rabbi said, we learned this evening the importance of having simonim, Rosh Simon and Milsa. We emphasize that it's Medina the Gemara. We learned also that the various simonim which are eaten in Chazal's times, which is the leek, the beetroot, the dates, and we said that you should say the Yiratzin as well. We also learned that you should say a bracha to it. And if there's any other languages which have a different kind of simonim, it should be done as well. We spoke about the topuach bitvash. Mishnah Berurah says you make a bracha alo etz on it, and we spoke about the order. We also said that the Yiratzin should be said this chadash roleinu shana mesuka. We also spoke about the rimonim which are eaten nar bezchiyos kerimon. We also spoke about the meat which should be nice and delicious meat to be eaten during the meal. Finally, we said that a person shouldn't get angry and a person should be at ease and have plenty of bitachon. That Kadosh Baruch Hu should have a good kebenched. Yo, have a good evening, Rabbi Yisrael.